is precious indeed, is my Savior to me. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Happy in glory, someday I shall be. For I have been redeemed. Yes, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now reside. For I have been redeemed. Yes, I'm redeemed by love divine. Yes, glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now reside. For I have been redeemed. Amen. How many can say that tonight? I love that verse. It says, happy in glory, someday I shall be. But if you get a little glimpse of that, you ought to be happy now. I feel good. Because I realize where I've come from to where I am today. I can say I'm redeemed by love divine. Amen. You ready for the word tonight? Amen. Let's change the order of service. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us go in this world. Wherever we roam, the word of God will guide us home. Word of God, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice, faithful words of Christ. Holy words
long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Word of God is ever true, changing me, changing you. And we have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart. Amen. Word of God ever true, changing me and changing you. That's what we need.
Amen.
We're heading toward a real change, though. We're heading toward a change of the body. And we sure appreciate the Lord predestinating us to this. Saw we would be here. Saw we would take the word of God to heart. Saw we would make it live. So we were predestinated by his foreknowledge that we would want it. So you got to want it. You got to want it. Because he saw some that didn't want it. And they're predestinated to that too. So we want to be predestinated, as we're going to talk about. And I appreciate them playing that adoption, because that's what we're going to move into. We're going to not get off of the transition to perfection. But I think we've come to the part to now we need to learn how to be perfect. And to learn how to be perfect, we must come to adoption first. All right, we must come to adoption first. And this is going to be just an overview, and then Sunday we'll get into to the meat of it. But adoption is, again, as we said, it's a requirement. These virtues are a requirement for this end time, for us to come to full adoption, to where our name is as good in the checkbook as the Father's, and then all of a sudden there's a transformation that we get to sign it, we get to give it. All right, so we'll get to that, though, in just a little bit. Just remember this is coming up, baby baptism. Little Emerson's going to be baptized. Well, I was in a Methodist church last Sunday, okay? I'm trying to get over all that. I hope none of them's watching, but I'm telling you, folks, praise God we know what we know. I mean, praise God we know what we know. When Brother Branham said they were lodges now, that's what they are. It's just a meeting place. That's it. Brother Donnie and Sister Susan were there, and Sister Regina. They didn't eat donuts. Everybody else in the sanctuary did, but they didn't eat donuts. They didn't recite the Apostles' Creed, I hope. I asked Mom if she did. She said no. But we stood, and I just pray for them because they just don't know. That's all they know. Recite the Apostles' Creed. Recite the doxology. Like Aaron said, you know, it's a method. I mean, John Wesley, that's why they're called Methodists. But, buddy, they had a method, and that was what they stuck to until I got in the pulpit. But anyway, we didn't say anything to hurt anybody, and they enjoyed it. They nodded a little loud every once in a while. But we're going to have a baby dedication. They were all behind y'all. Y'all didn't see them. And then we'll have a baptism. Also, we're going to have communion and foot washing the next Sunday. All right, is everybody with me? The communion and foot washing will be on the 13th. I think that's what it is. But it'll be the next Sunday, all right? Because we'll have visitors here. Anna's family will be here, and we'll have some visitors for the dedication and baptism. So we'll just hold off and have communion and foot washing on the 13th. All right. Also, Sister Jim, we're going to have a birthday party for her same afternoon, right after the baptismal service. We will have cake and ice cream downstairs. Her birthday is the 10th, but this is the closest one to get it close enough. Next Sunday is going to be a little busy too. So remember that. Next Wednesday, Brother Daniel Martinez will be here speaking for us. That's Rachel's and Bro's mom and dad's going to be here. So Brother Daniel will be here Wednesday speaking for us. Now, it looks like, again, there's going to be rain on Sunday, thunderstorms and all that again. So if anybody can, on that sign-up sheet, or anybody wants to, I just called the instructor. He hasn't called me back, but I'll let you know by the way of WhatsApp. Is on that Saturday at 4 o'clock at my house, we will begin to do, like as we did last Sunday, or Sunday before last, some of you came down and we'll see if Mike can come, then we'll start the class then at 4 o'clock at my house, and we'll have get something to eat and all that. But that'll be on Saturday, not Sunday. Sunday it's going to be raining. I hate that, but it just happens that way. So just remember that. Remember, if you're going to Brother Andre's, you need to sign up downstairs. For those of you that have not been before, there's a sheet that Brother Joe's doing that we'll hand out Sunday of the itinerary. What we're going to do, we're going to have Friday fellowship. We're going to have Saturday fellowship and eating, and then we're going to have a youth service at 6 o'clock, and then Sunday morning, and then we'll all go to the farmer's daughter and eat that Sunday after church. So, but I'll get you the itinerary. If you don't already have a room, I have 14 rooms reserved at Quality Inn and Comfort Inn already, all right? So if you want one, let me know. Some of them are king size, some of them are doubles. So just let me know if you want one, or if you want to find your own place, like an Airbnb or something. I think Anna and them, you did that last year, didn't you, Anna? Sister Anna, Marunga and them, well, they stayed in a nice one, and we stayed in a nice one, but we're going to stay in a motel with you guys this year. So let's just remember that church in prayer. Sure enough, the Methodist church, they're looking for a pastor. They're sheep without shepherd, and they're really looking for somebody. And we sure would love to have the building they had, because it holds about 250 people. And ain't that right? So yeah, the stage was twice this size, at least, maybe more. You couldn't lean over and go see. You'd have to send a text to the person over on this end to change the cord, because you'd be so far away from each other. But just pray for them. They went through a fire years ago, and the reason I think I told you, but I'll tell you again, a witch went in and burnt the church down, the original church, in about 1998 or 99, somewhere in there, 2000. Well, there's a girl named Rita Bush, which was teaching school with Anna, and they got together, and they had a need, and their need was Sunday school tables and chairs. So we bought them all Sunday school tables and chairs for the young ones and put them downstairs. Unfortunately, they got 7 or 8 rooms down there now, and they don't even have Sunday school class. But they're sitting down there to be used if the church gets any bigger. So you love the Lord. God, thank you for praying for us. We appreciate you being cordial with Brother David. He's a good brother. I love Brother David. He just won't ever hurt you, and he'll always inspire you. And he's a really good brother, and we really appreciate y'all taking care of him. So if you got your Bible, let's turn to Hebrews 5. Verse 8, just remember these things. These announcements, Sunday will be a little bit busy. That'll be all right. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for predestinating us, knowing that there'd be a group in the end time, as we were reading a quote back there from Brother Branham, that he knew that we would want it. So he had it here for us. Lord, you knew we would want this. We would want this more than life itself. Lord, we don't take it softly and lightly. Lord, we take it with reverence that you'll meet us in this house, Lord, if we'll do the things we're supposed to do. And Father, that you'll meet us in our house, even in our homes and our jobs. Lord, that we don't have to come to a building just to hear from you, Father, because it's a personal relationship with you. Father, be with us now as we read the scripture. Bless the hearers, Lord. Be with the speaker, Father. And you speak the words tonight that the people need to hear. Forgive, Lord, the ones that are sin sick, Father. Be with the ones that are sick at home and can't come, Lord. I pray that you'd be with them, Father, and bless them. Ever be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to switch a little gears, but we got to talk about adoption, because if the third pull is pertaining to adoption, then we've got to cover adoption. Brother Dale's covered it many times, but we got a lot of new people here. So we're going to cover it again. We won't cover it much tonight. We're just going to set a basis for it. So let's read Hebrews 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, now this is Jesus Christ. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Look, and being made perfect. Now remember, Jesus Christ in soul and spirit was perfect. But his body was not perfect yet. Okay? All right, so when we come to wit, the redemption of the body, what we're talking about as we get a little bit later on, that is coming to the perfection, that our body will even be perfect while we're standing on this imperfect earth. Everybody with me? And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, and you can be seated. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wow, what about that? Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us. All right? If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. He can't change. He can't have a different thought. He can't say, oops, I need to back up. He knows what he's talking about. We just got to do what? As I was telling him there, we just got to plug into the outlet. The electricity is there. The eternal life is there. You just got to plug into it. You may be seeing the Lord at his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, if we suffer, we shall also reign. So Brother Brown tells us, and we've read this many, many times. He talks about power without character, or power with character. If so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. We're going to get into Romans 8 this Sunday. For I reckon not that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. Now look at Paul. Not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Us as Christians, we got to see the long haul. Because remember, those who endure to the end will be saved. Those who endure to the end will be saved. Not the ones that stop off. Not the ones that get sidetracked. The ones that endure to the end will be saved. That's thus saith the Lord. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. Now look, if Jesus Christ had to suffer, so are we going to suffer. You say, I don't like that. Well, you know what? He probably didn't like it either. He actually said in the garden, if you can take this away from me, I surely don't want to do this, but nevertheless, thy will be done. Why? He had a victory. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. You say, man, I can't. Now listen, you got to go back to the part where Jesus said, or God said, I'll never put no more on you than you can stand. You just don't know how much you can stand. Till you go through a trial. When you go through a trial, when you come out on the other end of it, if a Christian comes out at the end of it, as we've said many times before, it doesn't ruin you. It'll never ruin a Christian. It will make you stronger. It will make you know why you're in the will of God. It'll make you know why you went through that. You'll know personally. They won't, nobody else know it but you. You'll know when you go through a trial, everybody's praying for you. Everybody's with you. Everybody's there with you to be whatever we need to be, but you're alone by yourself more than anybody else. So character is a victory, not a gift. So God's not handing out character. You got to earn it. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign, because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. And now what are we ruling? We're ruling this. And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same, now watch, on the same basis that he overcome and is set down in his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And the little temporary sufferings we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be what revealed in us when he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. The trials of our faith being much more precious than gold. That's what God wants us to do. But when we come to a place where God is pleased with all that, he's going to put a seal on us. He's going to adopt us. Because remember, I'll have the quote Sunday, but I didn't bring it here. But Brother Brown says, look, your new birth is not your adoption. Your new birth is bringing you into the family of God. You were born a son, born again a son. All right, everybody with me? Born again a son. You was born a son of your parents the first time. Now you're born a son of God, from the Son of God this time, by the new birth. But you can have the new birth and not be adopted. But you can't get adopted without having the new birth. That's why the new birth is the most important thing, because it will help you to get to the next step. But if you don't have it, you don't know how, because power without character. What is that power? That power is the Holy Ghost power. Power without that character, you might do something wrong with it. But God knows when you come to, when Brother Branham came, and we'll get to the steps of the adoption later on, he came to a place to where, I believe, and we'll see it here in a minute, where God came to a place to where he sealed him and told the world, if you're going to get it, you're going to get it from this man right here. Because remember, that's what Brother Brown said that happened on Mount Transfiguration. Jesus up there said, behold, you know, the Son of God in whom I'm pleased to dwell, hear ye him. He said, from now on, you're going to hear what that guy says. And I'm going to speak through that guy. In other words, God's going to speak through that guy. So Brother Brown, when he comes off that mountain, God has sealed him and told him, placed him in a place of adoption where whatever he said was what was going to be God. God was going to back up. Now, he backed him up a long time ago and the things that he did, you know, the healings and all that. But we're talking about getting the correct doctrine right, getting the correct scriptures right, getting the right message right to bring the Son of Man on the scene, because the Son of Man was perfect. His words were perfect. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't have a different doctrine. It was the doctrine, sure, of the apostles. But remember, we'll look at it in just a few minutes. The headstone was rejected. Now, what are you talking about when you talk about headstone? Stone means what? Revelation. It's not a rock sitting somewhere, but it's an allegory of building something and putting a headstone on top of it. That is the head that holds it all together. That's where everything comes up to a what? A head. So the head revelation was Jesus Christ. The head revelation. There's no other revelation. Satan's not your revealer. Angels are not the revealer of the word. God is the only one that reveals the word. Now, what does he do? He speaks to people to get you to listen and turn and look. Because remember, his message was a what? A shout. A trump. Hey, the message is here. God's telling us the message. He told us where it's come to. He told us where it's coming through. It's coming through a prophet in the end time. Had to be a prophet. So Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us. Now look, he chose us in him, not of him. Because God chose, he chooses every soul, because he's the only one that can make one. But he knows that people won't take it, the people won't, that they'll accept it or reject it. And he did according to his foreknowledge. He knew you would or wouldn't. He's just not going to pull you through a tube and make you be a Christian. He don't do his business that way. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Where was that seed, Gene? In him before the foundation of the world. It just come to his development down here. When you got the new birth, you got what he saw you was going to get before the foundation of the world. To me, that's so simple. But we were alienated, though. You got to see that we were not born again when we were born the first time. Why would we have to be born again? We don't have to be in darkness with these things. A lot of these things are terminologies that we say. But you were lost. You were a sinner. I know I was. I don't know where people get that they were some happy something that God spoke to them since they were sucking bottles. They might have. Y'all may be a bunch of goody-two-shoes, but I'm sure I wasn't. Mom? Praise the Lord. She said no. All your mothers would say the same thing, so I ain't worried about it. Every one of you mamas ago. But we needed to be saved. We needed salvation. We were on this side of the chasm. But what was on this side of the chasm, listen, what was on this side of the chasm is what got us. Took hold, but it took hold down here, but he saw it take hold down here. Therefore, he could, by foreknowledge, predetermine everything, where, like Brother Brown said, he's not going to pull you through a tube or he's not going to make you do it. So you do have a choice. You've got to plug into the outlet. Now look, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now watch how predetermined we are to come to a place that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. And we'll read in just a few minutes, Brother Brown said, his will was to adopt you. His will was to get you to a place to where he can leave the company to you and take a vacation. Everybody with me? Not looking back and going, I hope he writes the right check. I hope he don't buy this. I hope he don't destroy my company. God's not that way. He knows what's going to happen. And he knows what move you'll make before you make it. That's why we have to have character by suffering. He watches us through all these trials and tribulations to see how we'll react. He knows how we'll react. You just don't know how you'll react. So now the word adoption means to set, put, or place. All right, to set, fix, or establish. To set forth, to establish, or ordain. We have been ordained to adoption. All right, we're receiving the spirit of adoption. We'll get to it in Romans. The spirit of adoption. You're receiving, you have the spirit that will get you. Listen, You'll have the Spirit in you that will get you to adoption at your new birth. All right, that's what the Bible's saying. You'll have the Spirit that'll get you there. If you've got the Spirit, he'll get you there. But remember, you are in between all that. You can stop it. You'll never stop the will of God, but the will of God saw somebody make it and somebody not make it. Very simple. All right. What the Holy Ghost was given for. We're in a day back there that wasn't half as smart as today. Think about that. That's 1959. Think of what he saw then and we're looking at now. We're in a day now back there they wasn't half as smart as today. They couldn't make an atomic bomb or an automobile. They didn't have science and things we have now. Things are mysterious things. To try and say man blowed together by some dust and so forth, take some analysis and try to prove it, make infidels out of people. But now when we need it, now watch, when we need it, the Spirit of God raises a standard. What is it? He's pouring in his Spirit. So what's he doing is, in the end time, this is the time of adoption. All right? Luther couldn't do it. Wesley couldn't do it. The reformers couldn't do it. It had to come through a prophet. That's why a prophet had to come on the scene. A prophet had to tell us and direct us. Because remember, God's not going to say tell anything to his children or people except it be by a prophet. That's in Amos 2 and 9. He'll do nothing. He's got to reveal it to a prophet first, and then he's going to give it to us. All right? But now when we need it, the Spirit of God raises a standard. What is it? He's pouring in his Spirit. Then those who are resting out yonder in the grave are under the altar of God, as the scripture says, crying, how long, Lord, how long? Now watch. Did you catch something right there? That's not who that scripture is talking about. You see how Brother Branham in 1959 was calling that the bride or Christians? Come on. And we get to the fifth seal. He said, that ain't what I thought. He said, that's the souls under the altar. That's not the Christians. The Christians are already gone in the rapture. But partial revelation in 1959, he was moving up just like me and you move up. God was bringing him through this to adoption time in 1959, 60, 61, 62 to 1963. We'll get to that in a minute. Now, how long, Lord? How long? How much longer? God's waiting on me and you. The church is waiting on me and you. Adoption time. When God can pour into us his fullness, his power, not into one man, group of people, his power, his resurrection, that when the church and Christ become so close together till Christ becomes visible among us. Now, remember, he's not going to become visible among us here in flesh. So it's in your flesh. It's in us. That's a requirement. The world will see me no more, but you'll see me, because I'll be with you even in you till the end of the age. Till Christ becomes visible among us, raises the dead, and we go in a rapture. All right? So let's just for a moment stop for a second and go back to the three poles and see what's going on. Because remember, the Genesis secret mystery, we're still talking about Genesis 1:26. That's what I was telling you. That's what came to you at your new birth. That is not all mankind. I want to explain one more time that it's not all mankind. Not everybody in the world are sons and daughters of God by birth, by genetics, spiritual genetics. Everybody with me? So that is his children, because he said dominion, have power, rule over, dominion. You're my children. Let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. In other words, he likes us. He doesn't like us. He loves us. We just sometimes don't like ourselves. And that's what gets in the way. But that unfolds or reveals a mystery. What is a mystery? It's going to happen in this end time in human people. Christ is not coming back to the earth to stand on the earth and destroy it and do whatever he's going to do it through the bride. He's doing it through the bride. His feet will not touch this earth, as rotten as it is. It will not touch this earth, but he's going to touch your earth. He's going to depend on you, because the adoption is what? It's placing everything he owns, placing it on in your hands and my hands to see what we'll do with it. And he knows what we'll do with it already. We just don't know yet. So he sent us a prophet, and the prophet has a vision. And he sees that there's three things that happen in his life. There's little fish, there's medium-sized fish, and then there's a tent. Everybody with me? We explained all that, how God used him in nature because he was a prophet of nature. He was a prophet of one of the prophets of Elijah. So he had the nature of Elijah, all right? So the three pulls. Now, what is a pull? It's a force that draws someone or something in a particular direction or course of action. First and second pull were what? We explained this last Sunday. They were prayer lines, temporary healing. First pull was hand. Second pull was what? Secrets of the heart. But now remember, he thought as a man, he thought the third pull was going to be something great about that prayer line because he saw the vision of going into the tent or that little room in the tent and coming out, people coming out whole. But remember, you keep going and he keeps pounding. He's from 1950-something till 1963. He keeps wondering what it is, and all of a sudden, God tells him what it is. So millions gathered around Brother Branham. Millions gathered around Noah. Actually, I believe Noah had a crowd because they wanted to see what this idiot was talking about. And I'm sorry, but they thought he's an idiot because it never had rained before. Why was he building a boat? And that boat was not big enough to carry all the people that was on the earth. He only built it by God's instructions. And God instructed him. And I'm sure Noah stopped one day and looked at it and said, "Oh, y'all ain't going to fit in this thing." So he came to a revelation that he was actually preaching. His third pull was to the totally lost people. Ever how many years that was up to the 120 that he preached, he was preaching to people that would never get in the ark. There was only eight people got in the ark, and there were billions on the earth at the time. And they all died, every one of them but those eight people. So millions gathered around Brother Branham. But in the third pull, he understood then it was the mysteries being revealed, that it was going to be the spoken word of God, that God was going to use a man, which he used Brother Branham. And we'll get into something a little bit later on. I'll show you where he transitioned from a place to where he would stand and say, "You know what I'm waiting on? I'm waiting on him." That was in his early part coming up. He said, "I'm waiting on him. I can do nothing without him here." But if you look in 63, 64, and 65, the little prayer lines that he called, he never said that. He went right straight into the prayer line. Right straight into discernment. He was just discerning back and forth like popcorn. He'd come to a place where he didn't, now don't get me wrong, he didn't need someone to come on the scene so that he could heal people. That person had become so much involved in Brother Branham till he was just expressing out what it was already inside of him. He'd come to adoption, power with character. What would he give Brother Branham back in the earlier times? I don't know. But he waited until he knew, and then he placed him on a mountain. So his third pull, the mysteries of the word sealed since Jesus Christ. Millions left him. Millions. So now we know that the third pull was the opening of the seals. The opening of the word that nobody's ever seen. Light had not shined on these things before. It was hidden mysteries, but they were there. And it was an adoption ministry, getting people to a placing. Well, I spelled that wrong, didn't I? To a placing. So now look, now watch. Here's where I believe that Brother Branham was positionally placed to the world, if they believe what happened. Now this is where Brother Branham went on top of the mountain. And what happened? God placed a sword in his hand. You hear that? I said placed. Okay. He went to a place to be placed. And I had my hands out, and all at once something hit my hand. Now, it wasn't just odd that a sword appeared in his hand. What was not odd to me either, but what was so specific, he said, "It fit my hand. It fit my hand perfectly." Everybody with me? Just wasn't this sword just dropped out of the sky and he picked it up like, who's that guy with the, Aaron? King Arthur. No, this is the sword of the king, not King Arthur. Did I go to sleep? I don't know. Did I go into a trance? I don't know. Was it a vision? I can't tell you. Only thing I can say is, just the same thing like them angels was, and it struck my hand. Now watch, it struck my hand, and what struck his hand? A sword. And I looked, it was a sword, and it had pearl handles, real pretty, and had a guard over the gold. It over with gold, and the blade looked like something, like chrome, like silver. Only it was real shiny, it was so feather-edged sharp, I thought, oh my. I thought, isn't that the prettiest thing? Just fit my hand. He didn't reach and grab it and say, man, this is uncomfortable. No, that was the sword of the king, but what happened was it had already molded into Brother Branham's hand, because the sword that came out of his mouth was exactly the sword that came out of God's mouth. It wasn't different. It felt comfortable. Just fit my hand. I thought, that's awful pretty. But I said, hey, I'm always afraid of them things. A sword. And I thought, what will I do with that? And just then a voice shook down through there that rocked the rocks and said, it's the sword of the king. And then I came out of it, the sword of the king. Now, if it said a sword of a king, see, but it said the sword of the king. And there's only one king, and that's God. And he has only one sword, and that's his word. What I live by. Not what I deny, what I live by. That so help me God, standing over his holy desk here with his holy word laying here. It's the word, amen. Now watch. Oh, what a day we're living in. What a great thing. See, the mystery and secret. Standing there, when this left me, in other words, when he come out of the vision or whatever it was, when it left him, something just came to me and said, don't fear. Now, I didn't hear no voice like on the inside of me spoke. I have to just tell you the truth, just exactly what happened. Something hit and said, don't fear, this is that third pull. What was it? The opening of the word, the mystery, something that fit his hand perfect, something that fit his, in other words, it fit his ministry perfect. That's why God couldn't come to denomination. He didn't take Billy Graham up on a mountain. He didn't take Oral Roberts up on a mountain, Jack Shuler and all those different ones. He took this man up on a mountain. And then he was there, and when he spoke this, there was that authority of hear ye him. If you're going to get anything, this is who you're going to get it from. Because Brother Branham, when he goes into the seals, he corrects everything that he had an error about. Sorry, don't throw tomatoes. I'm just telling you, there's one example right there. He always thought that the saints were under the altar crying, how long, how long? And it was not. And we'll get into it when we talk about the seals. First seal, don't know what that was. Second seal, don't know what that was. Made a horrible mistake if I'd have preached my old nose. Didn't know what the fourth was. Didn't know what the fifth was. He had no idea what they were from one day to the next. But, oh, when they opened up to him. See, when they opened up to you, that gives you a confidence. Revelation gives you a confidence. When you got a revelation of one true and living God, he gave you confidence that you didn't have to listen to a Trinitarian idea. And then when you had a revelation of water baptism, nobody can talk you out of that. I looked at our little community church, the one June and I were married at, and there it's not Pine Grove anymore, but it's there in town. And it said on the thing, it says something about something come together in baptism, Acts 2:41. They're not going to read Acts 2:38. I'll promise you that. Acts 2:41. You read that sometimes. I think it's Acts 2:41. But they don't have an authority. God can't use, like, I'm sorry, he can't use people like I was with, and they were devoid of the Spirit of God. Flip-flops, shorts. Looked like I had pajamas on. It's just devoid of that. Any kind of spirituality of what God would have a set of deacons that would be able to say, hey, don't you go in there with that donut. There was none of that. They just walked right on in. I actually handed you a donut. Don't worry. That will not happen here. You can go get a donut anytime. But what it is, though, there was no reverence. And I mean, when you're sitting there speaking to them and they're just, they're there, but they're not. I mean, I stayed in the scripture. I didn't quote Brother Branham, I promise you. I stayed right in the scriptures, and they still just, there's no reaction to it. There's no fervor that, hey, there's something to that. It was just like a meeting where you just come, like a lodge, like Brother Ram said, just a lodge. Somebody's going, well, I have a speaker today at the lodge. But when the current is flowing freely, the word of God, it expresses itself. The works that I do shall you do also, and in the last days it shall come to pass. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And in there would be a time come forth when he could express himself in the fullness of his Godhead deity. Now listen, we know Brother Branham was the first partaker of this, right? All right? There had to be a first partaker, and then the first partaker didn't keep it to himself. He gave it out to the fivefold ministry, and then the fivefold ministry takes it to the people. Is everybody with me? Jesus is the one that multiplied the fishes, the loaves, but he handed it to the disciples, and the disciples handed it to the people. Telling you that there's a ministry that comes, that you've got a headship, then you've got somebody that captures that headship and that revelation and then breaks it out to the people. All right? And in there would be time come when he would express himself in fullness of his Godhead deity through his church. Have the preeminence in this church. Oh my, what? The anointed man. Now the anointed people to bring back the anointed bride. What are we anointed for? Adoption. We're anointed to a time that when God's name's not going to be in that checkbook. Your name's going to be on the checkbook. But you're not going to write it and not know what you're doing. The confidence, every time Brother Branham met God, every time he met these the angels, and every time he met the Finger Mountain where he had the marriage and divorce, and where he met on this mountain where God put the sword in his hand. What was that doing? That wasn't building my confidence. That was building his confidence. And when I see his confidence, I'm confident. That's where a great leader out on the battlefield, he's got to get the confidence of the people. But he can't be one that's just hiding behind the bush saying, all right, y'all, go. No, he's got to be the one that grabs a sword and takes off first. He leads a group of people. So Brother Ram took the sword first. And it fit his hand perfect. So what he preached was a perfect message. To accept what Eve turned down and Adam. Coming back with the anointing of the word, because he said, my word is spirit. Now, I put this in here because it fits. But I never read this quote before, and I was scrolling through. You know, a lot of people are honing in on Brother Branham's mistakes. Believe the sign, blah, blah, whatever. All right? They're honing in on his mistakes, the mistakes he made, the things he did, things he said that wasn't right, maybe they say. I'm saying they said, all right? Let me read you this. 1960, as I was with Moses, and to Joshua, the new commander of the army, after Moses had passed on. Because now remember, we have a Joshua commission. We don't have a Moses commission. Moses had a commission to take them to the promised land, but remember, he messed up. All right? So God said, you're not going to the promised land, but I'm not going to keep these people in the wilderness. They're going to the promised land. Somebody's going to take them. So he said, Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. So there was a Joshua commission. You and I are under that Joshua commission now. It's what? Not just take them in, but put them where they're supposed to be. There's a ministry that tells us where. It'll help you find out where your position is. Now watch. And to Joshua, the new commander of the army, after Moses had passed on, seeing that God stayed with him in his mistakes, he held his commission up. No matter what Moses done, it was Moses' office that God respected. Praise the Lord. He was a prophet. He was above all the prophets. He was really more than any prophet they had. When his own sister laughed at him for marrying an Ethiopian girl, he called them together and said, don't you fear God? If there be one of you who is spiritual or a prophet, I will speak to him in visions, make myself known to him in dreams. But it's not so with Moses. I speak lip to ear with him. Don't you fear God? You remember Miriam kind of condemned her brother for doing what he did. And what did God do? God struck her with leprosy. Everybody with me? Now, what happened to Sister Mita? Remember, she slammed the door on Brother Branham and said he was. Brother Branham said, "Well, he's here. He didn't like what you just did." Remember, she had the tumor, right? Almost died from it. But then the third pull comes into effect and heals her of the tumor. But I mean, she struck against a prophet. Listen, these people that strike against a prophet, I just think we need to get away from them. I don't want to be here when the fire falls on them. Because remember, listen, you're not turning him down, you're turning God down. If that's the man of the hour, you're turning God down. Now watch. See, that's not a good thing to tramp upon God's people. You hurt him when you do so. God had commissioned Moses. His failures meant nothing. God knowed his heart. He, one time, Moses complained about having too much to do. So God took his spirit and divided it among 70. They had no more spirit than they had at the beginning, but only thing, they just had more machinery. That's what we got today, more machinery. Same amount of spirit. God can put his entire spirit upon a man, watch, if he wants to. Or he can scatter it amongst thousands, if he wants to. One day he put his whole spirit upon a man called Jesus. Now he scattered it through his church everywhere. God keeps his commission. So forget about the faults and failures. Brother Branham knew he had a message. He brought that message. And so help me, God, don't turn it down. This is not play pretty. They can play all they want to out there. This is not playtime. The third pull is also to the totally lost that will turn this message down, be preached to. Brother Brown said they'll think they're still getting saved, they're still getting healed, and they're still going to church. And the door will be shut. Now look, notice the very day when this messenger, not when he starts on, we've read this many times. So Brother Branham, from 47 to 63, we understand that he was working under the first pull and the second pull. Is everybody with me? All right. But when he begins to declare his message was not the first pull. His message was not the second pull. That's why the angel kept saying, quit trying to explain it. Move on. He wanted him to move on through that and come up to the place to where he come to the third pull or the opening of the word. The first pull was healing. Second pull, prophesying. Third pull, the opening of the word, the mysteries reveal. Now, that was the third pull. No more there's higher order to reveal the word than a prophet. But the only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the word. And I don't, you know, they can search whoever they want to. Show me somebody that's more vindicated than Brother Branham. Scripture and by vision and by prophecy and by anything you want to talk about. Now, I ain't talking about his mistakes, like I said right there. God didn't look at Moses' mistakes. Moses, what a murderer. Murder. David, murder. Had his best friend killed. Just so he could get his wife that he'd already been with, so he committed adultery. But remember, God saw something in David. He saw his heart and knew if David had the new birth, he wouldn't have done that. But it wasn't time for it. He was stuck under or in the order of bulls and goats, which covered it, didn't take care of it. But remember, David's going to be there. Samson's going to be there. All those ones that had those flaws, they're all going to be there. But they're not bride. But the only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the word. And remember, the third pull was the opening of the seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the word. So now look. We see that Brother Branham started out, the scripture there, and I think it's in Timothy or somewhere where it says, the angel says, do the work of an evangelist. Everybody with me on that? All right, now look, what did he put in the cornerstone of the tabernacle? He put what that angel said. Do the work of an evangelist, make proof of your ministry and all these things. That was the cornerstone. Kind of odd that it was put in the cornerstone, not on top. Because when he started preaching, he had to do, as we're going to read here in a minute, Zerubbabel wiped off the foundation and built the house. restore. Brother Branham's message was to restore us back. So the cornerstone of the tabernacle was to do the work of an evangelist. Now, taking sides with Jesus, Brother Branham, I don't know how that come black like that, but must be important. As I have done the work of an evangelist, and here is my plea. If that is pleasing to God, and I've done the work all right, trusting that I have pleased him. What? Pleased him. This is my son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Pleased to dwell. And then hear ye him. Trusting that I have pleased him, asking forgiveness for all my mistakes, that he may be calling me from the field of evangelism to be his prophet. I cannot be an evangelist. If I'm to be an evangelist, I cannot be a prophet. I'm mixing the two offices. That's where I've always fussed about, standing on the platform. It's never been good or successful. I read this last week. It's never been good or successful. Millions of people got healed on that platform. Thousands of people, 100,000 people received the new birth under his ministry. And he said right here, it's never been good, successful. God has used it, but I've never thought it was his direct will. It's been his permissive will. Stand on the platform. A vision or two will knock you out almost. See, that's another thing. When he was in the first and second pull, he would only get to, what, 8 or 10 people, and then like you saw in the picture part of him, he'd get so weak they'd have to pick him up. That didn't happen in 63, 64, and 65. He come to a place of authority where God he had authority over his body. Brother Ram didn't. God did. Because it would all knock you out almost, see. Then if you tell this person how to straighten himself up and what to do, and then the next person stand there, he's expecting the same thing. And you can't tell him unless something tells you to tell him. And then the other people feel like you're a traitor or a backslider. Think about that. Sometimes we don't think about that because some people be sitting in the audience. They'll have the same identical thing that this person's got. This person will receive the healing. He'll call them out, and that person's not. Well, don't you think there's something start messing with your mind saying, well, what's wrong with me? Why didn't he call me out? All those things like that. I'm just glad I didn't have that. Or a demon or something, because you don't tell them what they want to know. That's not the office, the way a prophet operates. So now he did a work of an evangelist, but remember, he was a prophet. But he had to do the work of an evangelist to get the building built. According to the Bible, we'll read here in just a minute, the chief cornerstone, cornered, down here at the bottom, cornerstone, to something to build on, not cap off with. Cornerstone's at the bottom, starts out real low to the ground. Psalms 118:22, the stone which the builders refused, has become the headstone of the corner. The stone which the builders, in other words, the revelation which the builders refused. Who did they refuse? The headstone, Jesus Christ. But that didn't deter the Lord Jesus. He said, I'll come back on the day of Pentecost, and I'm going to start building my church. And I'm going to build it on the cornerstone. What? The apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So Brother Branham started the same way. A cornerstone message. Come back to God. Get the new birth. Live right. Conduct, order, and doctrine. Do the things of God. All those things, but that really wasn't his message. But it had to prepare people. It had to prepare us, even us coming through this. It had to prepare us for an event that's right, real, approaching. We can't keep putting it off and say, well, let's wait till something happens. Well, I'm not waiting till something happens. Listen, we are fulfilling prophecy. As we were talking the other day, where Brother Biscoe put on that green shirt, and he testified that he was an hour and a half in that vision before he realized it was the vision. Hour and a half into the vision. He thought his wife had thrown the shirt away. She sewed it back up and put it in his pack. He says, oh, I got this shirt, and he puts it on. Hour and a half later, tells him, say, look at your shirt. Could we be the same way? Could we be already in the vision hours, days, weeks, months, and then just realize, because, hallelujah, it didn't stop the vision. that he didn't know it for an hour and a half, that didn't stop what was going on. It happened exactly the way Brother Ram said. A man with a little hand had on a green checkered shirt. Same way with the Bible. This Bible is to one group of people, and that's his bride. So, all right, so if he's the head cornerstone, he's the cornerstone, but he's going to be the headstone. He is the headstone to the church. Everybody with me? That's why the church turns him down. As Brother Aaron was preaching, and I did speak on it just a minute over there to the Methodist brothers and sisters, that a lot of people, boy, they had some raised eyebrows too, Aaron. I said, a lot of people want to be saved, but you don't want him to be your Lord. That's the same way with this. Everybody wants to have the cornerstone, but they don't want the headstone, because the headstone is the one with the power. The headstone's the one that's the head of you, and that means he's your Lord. Everybody with me? So stone means revelation. So kids, everybody listen. When I say cornerstone, headstone, I mean a corner revelation, something to build on. A head revelation is Jesus Christ. All right? Devil ain't got nothing to do with this. He built his own kingdom and he can try to destroy yours. But God's going to have a group of people that he's going to sit down on and cap them off and become their head. I just believe it, 100%. Matthew 21, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, this is the scripture he's referring to. Did you never read in the scripture the stone which the builders rejected? Now the stone, the revelation that the builders, supposedly the Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious people today, they were supposed to be the builders. But they rejected him. But that didn't deter him. He just come right back on the day of Pentecost as a little bitty stone, a cornerstone to build on. The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. Isn't that the fruits? And who's this nation? Us, the Gentiles. He's taking it from the Jews. They've rejected him. They rejected the headstone. Taking it from them and starts building his church on the day of Pentecost with a cornerstone message looking to the head. They never denied Jesus was not God or anything like that. They just didn't. Listen, sure they knew who he was, but they didn't know everything about him like you and I do. I'm sorry. They just didn't. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomso it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So it's okay. It's best for us to fall on this revelation and be broken than to have God give you judgment from the top, fall, and grind you to powder. Because that's what's going to happen in the tribulation, that we're going to walk out on the ashes of the wicked people that turn down Jesus Christ. If they turn you down, they're turning down Jesus Christ if he's inside of you. Ephesians 2, verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner revelation. Everybody with me? In whom all the building, now building, fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You and I, Isaiah 28, verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a revelation, a precious revelation, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Listen, now remember Zerubbabel, somebody was preaching on this not too long ago. Zerubbabel means sown in Babylon. Brother Branham was born in Babylon, okay? Because he's our Zerubbabel of the day. Everybody with me? Zechariah 4, verse 6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone. Okay? He's going to bring forth the headstone. So whoever this Zerubbabel is, he's going to come out of the world, out of Babylon, and he's going to build this church, build this building, and bring the headstone to set on top of it. Therefore, with shoutings, try that sometime, crying grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. What is his hand? It's the working part. Who's the working part? It's me and you. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Behold, I send you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. Now watch, with these seven. That would make him number eight. Now there's no eight messengers, but remember there's eight manifestations of God in the end time. There's one more, which takes us to the eternity, takes us into a rapture. All right, everybody with me? Those of you who've been here a long time, you've heard Brother Dale preach it for years. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Now, I was looking through the scripture just thinking about things, and I was thinking about the the movie there, the Chosen, the woman that washed Jesus' feet. The Bible says it was Mary Magdalene, but that wasn't who washed his feet, so they were a little bit off on that. But watch what happens. Here's Jesus. Here's the headstone. Everybody with me? Here's the headstone. This is the man. He walks into a Pharisee's house, Simon. And remember, Brother Brown preached many times, Jesus with dirty feet. But I want you to watch the allegory here in this scene. Because when you walk into a man's house in this time I said scripture, but this time of when Jesus was there, or during this, there was a custom that they would put oil on your head. When you walked in, they'd give you oil, put it on your head, and make you feel cool, and then they'd wash your feet. Remember, they did not do that to Jesus. So they rejected the head. Watch what he says, though. Seest thou this woman? He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? Woman is who? Church, bride. Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. Now, what is feet? Cornerstone. The bottom, right here. She didn't go to his head. She went to his feet. It wasn't time to go to the head. Because listen, this woman is going to be the head. This woman is going to be the one that anoints Jesus' head. Because we're going to be the anointing that anoints that head. But she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Kissed my feet. My head with oil thou didst anoint. He was telling them right then that they're going to reject his headship. Because they didn't do it. Simon said, no. In other words, he didn't want to. Because remember, the scripture says he's going to be rejected. The headstone was rejected. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, me, church, bride, because of what you did, your sins are forgiven you. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's read this right here and then we'll close. Because now we're going to come into a Joshua commission. And watch how this works. Joshua 1, verse 1. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Pretty plain. He didn't say he's gone away. Didn't say he's coming back. He's dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, what land is he talking about? He's talking about the inheritance of property that they were told they were going to have. Abraham, wherever your sole of your feet goes, that's going to be the possession. That's going to be where my people are going to live. But right now, they're out in this desert. There's a couple of million of them, and they don't know where they're going. They know the promised land's right here. But I don't want to be in Ephraim's place. Ephraim don't want to be in Manasseh's place. They were guaranteed they were going to be put where they are the most fruitful. Come on, somebody. The most fruitful. You can work the best. You know what to do in your area. Remember Brother Branham said he didn't want, Manasseh didn't want corn in this one's field, and this one didn't want this one in this one's field. That's why Brother Branham said when the bride realizes who she is, what she's doing here, what's her position, what's her place, we'll be an invincible army because we won't be fighting against each other. We'll be fighting with each other. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto. Now, he didn't say I'm going to. He said, I have given. I've given it to you. But what about, he didn't say what about. Lord, what about this journey I got to go through? What about this wilderness I'm in? Don't worry, I'll give you a land. You have a promised land that I'm taking you to if you'll just let me get you there. Every place that the sole of your foot, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, now that's over this way, and all the land of the Hittites into the great sea, which is the Mediterranean, right? Toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. That's on the west. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. What was the Joshua commission? Get them in the land. Get them placed. All right? He didn't say you didn't have to fight for it. Because you got to possess the gates of the enemy. And I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very good courage. Two times he said this. Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, all the 1,100 sermons that Moses brought us. Everybody with me? Is that all right? Because the Moses commission was what? To get them out, but not to take them in. That was Joshua's commission. Now, Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand. Don't go after this doctrine. Don't go after this doctrine. You stay with the books and the tapes, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Read your Bible, study. But thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. That's the third time he told him that. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever. And listen, folks, look at me just for a second. That was a man that didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in his soul. That's a man that was under the blood of bulls and goats and did the law. Wow. What a great position. We're going to read this and then we'll musicians, come on. A seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Now watch. When they came out of the wilderness to go into Jordan, when God spoke to the famous Joshua and told Joshua to cross over, to make the people ready. It was in the month of April, a month of floods. It wasn't a flowery bed of ease. The Jordan wasn't about this deep, flowing real soft. No, it was a roaring river. All the snow had melted from the mountains in Judea, and it was overflowing. Sometimes we look at a river of our life and we say, man, this is the worst time in the world for me to even try to get over. Well, pray for me. It was a month of April, a month of floods. Looked like it was a poor strategy of God to bring them to that place, to that old muddy Jordan, the worst time in the world when the river is at its highest. Usually God lets you get to the last end of the road, the last mile of the way, then he steps in. If you're a seed of Abraham, believe God and hold his promise for healing, for salvation, for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Whatever it is, whatever the enemy is, God lets you get something, sometime, right to the end of the road. Happened to me, happened to you, it's happened to all of us. And it looks worse than it ever did. The doctor said there's not a chance, but you're the seed of Abraham with a promise that you shall possess the gate of every enemy. Now watch, this Joshua commission. Joshua didn't stand there and try to figure out how to get across the river. God told him, get the ark, get the priest. Put them in front. As soon as they touch the waters are going to part. But now look, have your people go several hundred yards behind because they've never been that way before. Let the preachers go first. Let the preachers get the message. Then tell you how to walk across. Joshua didn't think how wide Jordan was or how muddy it was. He said, gather yourself together, sanctify yourself, and take the ark of God and go forward. And he possessed the gate of the enemy. Why? Because he was taking a promised people to a promised land by a promise of God and was the children of Abraham. How many of you are children of Abraham? If you're not, get in. Because remember, we all got to cross Jordan sometime. We'll stop right there. Come and stand. We'll finish Sunday. Don't look at circumstances. I know sometimes we fall down and we think, how in the world can we do that anymore? I've tried this way and this way and this way. Well, maybe you're going to need to quit trying. Maybe you need to let God do it for you. We get ourselves in the way a lot of times. But if we're under that Joshua commission, somebody, which now Joshua, remember, is the Holy Ghost, right? Right? Everybody with me? Now, Joshua's not one man that's going to lead us through. Brother Branham came and led us up to the promised land. Everybody with me? He even showed us into the promised land because he had a vision of the future home. He had a vision of the millennium. He had a vision of the rapture and a vision of the resurrection. He showed us and told us what was going to happen. But he couldn't go because it wasn't his commission. There's not a Joshua one person, a man named Joshua, or one man going to lead us out of here. It's going to be a collective body of people with a Joshua commission to get us placed where we're supposed to be. And listen, when you get into that place, you got to be able to use it. You got to know where you're at, folks. If you're floundering around, come for prayer, get a prayer cloth, cry out to God, find out your position. Because I'm telling you, the devil is going to give you one if you don't find one from God. The devil's going to give you something that'll satisfy your outside person, that'll give you a feeling, that'll give you an emotion. But those people, when they got placed in the promised land, the problem with them is they didn't kill everybody that they were supposed to kill. They left a few of this one to a certain place. They left some of the Hittites. They left some of these people. You and I are not supposed to leave one person. Because remember what happened to Saul. The prophet Samuel told him, you go down there, you kill everything. Don't leave nothing. Samuel walks in, and they're sitting there having a party, and there sits two kings over there in the corner in a jail. And Samuel says, I hear the lowing of sheep. I hear a sound that I shouldn't be listening to. And what are these two men doing here? What did that prophet do? He executed those two kings, threw the sword at Saul, and said, you're out of here, buddy. You're not even worth, you didn't do what I told you to do. To obey is better than sacrifice. Let's sing a song. God bless you. If you have a need.
The great
emancipator.
That's the song of the redeemed. Once my heart and soul were led by the bind chains of sin. Set me free to worship Him.
And realize, Lord, that you're there to help
Him. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessing me His holy name. He's the great emancipator. That's the song of the redeemed. Like a lost lamb I was drifting.
Oh, so help. That's all of us, right?
Alone.
But seeking shepherd, how he found us. It was by predestination. He knew that when he would flash that in front of you, you would take it. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. Oh, he's the great
emancipator. Song of the redeemed. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Bless in me His holy name. He's the great emancipator. That's glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessed be His holy name. He's a great emancipator. That's the song of the redeemed. Once my heart and soul were fettered by the bind chains of sin, but the great emancipator set me free to worship Him. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessed be His holy name. He's the great emancipator. sings the song of the redeemed. Like a lost lamb I was drifting, oh, so helpless and alone. But the seeking shepherd found me, led me to my Father's home. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessed be His holy name. He's the great emancipator. That's the song of the redeemed.
From Mike, the instructor, about Saturday. We'll just do it Saturday at 4 o'clock. So we all have needs, and we all have things that we're dealing with. But placing. They had to fight for every inch of ground they had. There was no way they were going to take it just by a flowery bed of ease. It might have been a place flowing with milk and honey, but it also had enemies in it. The enemy had come in and took the land over. But God promised the Israelites, not those squatters. God promised you the promises that He gave us in this Bible. He did not promise them to the devil's kids. That's the thing we'll talk about adoption. God's not going to adopt the devil's kids. He's going to adopt His own children, because you're a child of God at the new birth. Then you get to be placed into what God wants you to be. So just remember that.
In me His holy name. He's the great emancipator. That's the song of the redeemed. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Blessed be His holy name. He's the great emancipator. That's the song of the redeemed.
He's good, isn't He? He's not going to waste His time. He knows what He's doing. And He knows there is a people that will know what to do with what He said. You think, well, maybe my Jordan is bigger than your Jordan. The Jordan was overflowing. It didn't matter if it was that much or the whole valley. They had to get across. But did they get across by shovels, and did they get across by boats and man-made ideas? No. They got across because God told them what to do. And they got across that way. When that priest's foot hit that water, it didn't just clear it back, Brother Luis. It did just like He did. He said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Brother Alex, they didn't trudge across on mud. No. When they come out of Egypt, that big old lake, the Red Sea, it parted. And God blew a wind all night, and what it done was it made that clay just as hard as a rock. So all the camels and all the horses and all the chariots could get across on dry land. Same way with Joshua. They went across on dry land because He said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. As He was with all people, as He was with Brother Branham, He'll be with us. You just got to believe that. Now, the office of a prophet is over here. Don't worry about that. We're not all prophets. Okay, but we are prophetic people that can understand a prophet. That's my whole thing. We got to understand the prophet, because he's got the mind of God. So what are we doing? We're actually getting the mind of God through that vessel. And I pray that we'll receive that as we continue through this series of adoption, that we'll see who we are, see what we got, open the book, look at the will, and see what God's give us. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, Lord. I pray that you'd bless each one. Be with us, Lord. Discern our things, Lord, that we need to get rid of, Father. And may we do that, Lord. May we come to a place to where you're pleased to dwell, not only that, but to hear our voice, Lord, speak as you speak. Father, Lord, we've got to come to the place to where we realize who we are and what we're doing here. Father, it's getting late. All the things, we see the world falling apart. We see earthquakes. We see these now fires. And now they're saying now that these next two rounds of tornadoes is going to be the worst it's ever been. Lord, I pray that you'd give us all shelter. Hide us under your wings, Father. And be with us, Lord, as our journey continues. We come back together, Lord, Sunday. Just be with us, Lord. Be with the ones that are being baptized, Lord, the ones being dedicated. Lord, I pray that we'll all dedicate ourselves Sunday also to, Lord, being more like you, Father. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for these people that you have sent, Lord. We ask you to be with them on the highways. Take care of them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Come and dine.
The move is on, my Lord, the move is on.